Right, mae'r Rajarish nhw ag Mary Ann Swinney na Nan Swinney mae'r sfer anhyri yn ar dyrae, be ar dyrae. Ac ys Nan, when I finished the last day, we started on about herbal remedies and wee cures and all that.
Yeah.
Would you like to go through some of the remedies, Nan? You knew a lot of stuff.
Well, when I was young, the country was full of people, old and young, and the hospitals were half empty because none of the old people had been in hospitals. And well, when they got an illness of any kind, they tried all sorts of home remedies before they called the doctor, because everybody didn't have the half crown. Now, the half crown was 1/8 of a pound. I couldn't convert it now into the euro money, but I'd say it would be only a few cents, but they just didn't have it.
It was a lot of money then.
It was a lot of money. Yeah. And so they had tried all the home remedies. First, they had nothing now for pneumonia. A lot of men died young with pneumonia in the end days, because they were out working either as servant boys or working for themselves, and got a lot of wettings, bad cold weather, and they had no way of drying the clothes, and they had no change of clothes, and they'd have to put them wet clothes on again the next day. So they didn't have any. There was no cure except plasters the doctor put on, poultices.
That helped a wee bit, now, like.
It helped. Well, it cured in some cases, but there was a lot of widows left with young families. My own grandmother, her husband, she had 12 children, and her husband died before the last was born with pneumonia. Yeah. And then I had an uncle died in later years. He was a postman, because they didn't have the money to bring in a doctor until it was too late. He died with a quinsy, a throat infection. I don't know what they used to call it, a quinsy. He died, it burst, the abscess on the throat burst, and he got poison. He was only in his 20s. That was quite a common thing.
I know, at the time. Yeah,
at that time, yes. Yeah. Well, measles was never regarded as life-threatening in them days, the way they are now, and nobody hardly ever called a doctor. The early signs would be they'd be dull and lack energy, and then one day the child woke up in a sweat, and the important thing was to get the rash out within 24 hours. So they were put into a very warm bed with a lot of bedclothes. The windows blinded, they were put in there to the dark, and they were kept in there, and there was a bunch of nettles would be taken in, washed and boiled nettles to make nettle tea.
Was that supposed to cure?
That was to take out heat.
All right.
That took out the rash. You see, the rash had to come out and go back again inside of the 24 hours. So they made the nettle tea, and that was given to the patient several times a day. On the second day then of the measles, the rash came out, and on the third, now it was going right the third day that they went back in again, and the child was fine. But the parents didn't want to be going on and on with this for weeks on end, so what they would do was they would put other members of the family and to the bed with them to try to get them to have it all at the one time, to get it over with, maybe within a week. I myself was put in, I was put twice, well, I lived alone, I had nobody with me myself, but I was put into neighbours' beds a couple of times to try to get it, because there was always the danger that if you got it in adult life, that it could be very dangerous. It was never considered any problem for children, but I didn't get them till I was over 50, and by that time, of course, they had tablets and they had things that they had by that time. I was over 50 when I got my I have a daughter, two of my daughters, never got them yet. And one of my daughters got them the week she was doing her intercert, and the son got them around the same time. So we never seemed to be able to get them as children. Mumps, they came every few years too. There was a swelling in the neck glands, and that affected the movement of the jaws and so on. So the cures for that was a stocking was filled with warm salt and pinned round the neck, and the same cure was used for sore throats. Chicken pox was another ailment that they had. It was never done any harm. It was just a dirty looking rash, and it usually went away with in a few days. It would be washed with water with some baking soda, and then baking soda would be smeared over it, and so it was gone in a few days. The whooping cough, it was a serious ailment. It was a deep, hard cough, and they would run. The cure now for the whooping cough, breastfed babies rarely got it, but after that, the best cure was donkey's milk. They would go miles to get it. It depended the time of year. Donkeys usually have their foals in the late spring and early summer, so sometimes it would be very hard. You'd have to go a long way to get a donkey that would still have milk. Donkey's milk was the main cure for that. And goat's milk was for eczema and asthma. For diarrhea, boiled milk with ginger added, really bad. But boiled milk with browned flour. The flour would be browned on a pan, and that was put in. But if that failed, there was one really good one, which I had it myself, and one year that for diarrhea, that the diarrhea was rampant in the country. And in later years, I used it for my own children, and that was an iron. Of any description, a poker like, would be put into the fire till it would be red, and then it would be dipped in the milk, and the milk would all start to bubble, and it would all get dirty looking. But that dirty dust that was on it was actually iron. That was the iron coming off the iron when it was heated, and that was
that cured.
It was that iron that cured it. The milk then was stirred, you see, with this red poker, and this smutty thing. That was the cure. But it was also given, and I gave it myself to calves that would have a scour. That's before we had vets or had chemist shops to get these things in. I gave it often to calves. So constipation, that was then on the opposite side. That was done when you're churning the milk, when it would, before it would turn into butter, it would be all wee grainy things, you know, the milk. That was the cure for that.
For constipation.
Constipation, yes. Yeah. It was wee pinheads, and they were taken out then. And what else now was used?
Do you remember you mentioned the last day, the warts cures you had? Tell me about the wart anyway, the cure.
A snail was supposed to be one of them, and you let the snail crawl over the wart, and it left that slime, sort of slimy thing behind it. And then when that was done, that snail was taken, and he was hung on a gooseberry bush, and it's a kind of a piss rug more than anything else. And according to as the snail died out and deteriorated,
the wart vanished.
And another one then sounds silly. You took piece of your own. When a funeral was passing, you got to cut a piece of clothing that you were wearing, your own wearables clothes, and a piece of your petticoat or whatever, and you rubbed it on the wart, and you threw the wart in the direction where the funeral was going, in that direction, and you walked a few paces after the funeral, and it was said then that the corpse took the wart with them to the grave. But oh, there was another one, I can't now think about it at the moment. I might think about it later.
Yeah, but then you had a lot of pishragi anyway, Nan, you know, you listened to the stories as well.
Aye, yeah.
Do you want to tell me some of them? Like,
well, there was the one about bed sores. I remember when my grandmother was laid up in bed for a while, she developed a bed sore, and an old man came in one evening. He had a few drinks taken, it was a fair evening, he had been in town, and he came in and he heard about this, so he said, give me a spade. And he went out to the field and he cut what we would call a scra, a big sod with the grass growing on it, took it in on the spade, and he put it in under the bed that was supposed to be a cure. So, well, that was the only one now in that line. Now, children that would have trouble with what we call now nappy rashes. There was no nappies then. People didn't have nappies. They just had rags and pieces of cloth of any kind. But what's known now as a nappy rash, spring water from a spring well, would be bathed in that and left to dry. It wouldn't be dried off, left to dry naturally. And the spring water was supposed to be the best cure for that. And what else? Cuts. Dog. You got the dog to lick it. And
that was a cure.
You have the dog to lick it, and a very good one, and has been used up to recently, up before there was rubber gloves or anything. A lot of fishermen would get gashes on their hands from handling the nets and handling things out at sea. So urine, your own urine, was the cure for that. You just made a wee piddle in the palm of your hand and rubbed it on it. My neighbour, who has just retired, he had been a skipper on a boat for years and years, and he said they'd done that, and some even never could get used to wearing rubber gloves. They would have to do the things with the bare hands, and they were still using it. And a cobweb. They'd go to an outhouse where there'd be big cobwebs hanging down from the beams, put a cobweb over it. That was cured.
Cured as well.
Yeah.